I tried to put my mic on and it wouldn't work. I put the batteries in the wrong way around. But I've only got myself to blame because it was me that did it. Apologies to those at home who have missed the first part of the sound of the service. I was frantically plugging and unplugging things in the back to try and make things work. Have no clue why it wasn't working, but it works sort of now. Anyway, good. Just a few weeks ago, I was reading in my sort of personal devotions. I've been reading through the letters in the New Testament, and I was really caught by, in several of the letters, as Paul is writing to the churches across, well, Asia Minor, what is now Turkey and Europe, Greece, those places. He often prays for them. And he writes some of his prayers down, and I was caught by those prayers. They caught my attention. And actually, Dave read one of those the other week when we were celebrating, giving thanks for Hudson. And so I'm going to read one to you this morning, but I'm actually going to read lots to you throughout what I share with you this morning. I'm going to read, first of all, from Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 14. I'm not sure if it'll appear on the screen. It will appear on the screen now. It definitely will appear later as well, but there we go. This is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Maybe experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." I want to share with you really this morning from that passage, and then there's another one just a couple of pages back at the beginning of Ephesians when Paul again is praying for that church in Ephesus, but also a prayer that he prays for the church when he writes the Philippian church, the church in Philippi, and also some from one from the church Thessalonica, a couple of prayers from 1 and 2 Thessalonians. So I've been looking at these prayers and really sort of thinking, what was Paul praying for them? Because probably what Paul was praying for them was quite important. That's what he wanted to see happen in the life, in the lives of those three churches. And as I look at those churches and what we know about them from history and archaeology and all this stuff, the things that I would pray are pretty much not what the things that Paul would pray. So it shows us some of his priorities for the church. Ephesus is a place we know quite well. We read in Acts 17, Paul went there to plant a church, spent a couple of years there planting a church, and was so successful that the church grew so much that the people who made the idols for the temple of Diana began to get angry because their livelihood was disappearing. So in Ephesus, there's this temple to Artemis or Diana, this god, which is that they have this special worship in Ephesus of Diana, and it's like the big deal. For the temple dominates the town. The temple is one of the ancient wonders, the seven ancient wonders of the world. So Ephesus is dominated by this goddess. I sort of think to myself, if I was praying for that church, I might be praying for them to be protected from this cult of Diana. I might be praying for them to be protected from the persecution of the artisans who've lost their livelihoods because so many people have become Christians, and therefore they're starting riots and all of this stuff, trying to take them to court, and all the things that we read about in Acts chapter 17. This is all going on. That may be what I would be praying for the church at Ephesus, but that's not what Paul prayed. Philippi is similar. If I were praying for the church of Philippi, well, Philippi is almost the center of the cult of the Roman Empire. Philippi was a town where nearby there was a battle between two Roman generals to become Caesar. And after the battle, many, many of the soldiers settled in Philippi. The town was dominated by retired soldiers who thought the empire was the biggest deal there was. The worship of the cult of the emperor was massive in Philippi, and Philippi was also a very prosperous town because there was gold in them there hills just north of Philippi. So they've got this sort of two things that are the pressure on them. This whole thing about being part of the Roman Empire and being a citizen and all of those things is so important to the people of Philippi. And also, money is quite important as well. So if I were praying for the people of Philippi, I might be praying that they're protected from this cult of emperor worship. We know that people who refused, later, we know that people who refused to worship the emperor were, you know, put in the arenas and eaten by lions and all of those types of things. That was what the Roman Empire was doing. So I might be praying for the church, God, would you protect them from that? Or I might be praying for the church saying, God, would you protect them from this, the danger of materialism and wealth and all the stuff that goes alongside that. But that is not what Paul prayed. If I were praying for the church at Thessalonica, I'd be praying for them. This is really interesting, these letters, particularly the first letter to the church at Thessalonica. Paul went there to plant a church, and he was only there 3 weeks before he was driven out. A whole bunch of people have become followers of Jesus, but the local Jewish population is so angry with him that they basically start a riot and drive Paul out. So there's a bunch of three-week-old Christians, or thereabouts, maybe 4 or 5 weeks, but it was a very short time. He went to the temple 3 weeks, went to the synagogue 3 weeks running to preach, and then after that he was driven out. So this is a new church, and if I were praying for that church, I might be praying, God, would you protect these new Christians from harm? God, would you protect them from those who deliberately oppose them and who are deliberately trying to drive them out, starting riots to do so? And all of those cases, my prayers would be defensive prayers. God, would you keep them safe from? God, would you protect them from? God, would you keep, you know, their minds fixed on you instead of being distracted by other stuff? And praying against circumstances is often what we do as Christians. Praying to survive the difficult time that's come right now. Or, you know, someone's sick, so we pray for them to be healed. Those are good things to pray. Someone needs a job, so we pray for them. Or someone's facing difficult circumstances, someone's got it in for them, and we're praying for them to be safe or be protected. But what we don't, and I'm sure Paul prayed those prayers for the churches, but the ones he records, the ones he says, this is what I pray for you, are different than that. And I think we can see Paul's priorities by that. And what is he praying for? He's praying for spiritual growth. He's praying for spiritual growth. And then I ask myself, if he's not praying what I would have prayed, probably I need to realign my own prayer priorities. Am I praying for spiritual growth within myself? Am I praying for spiritual growth within our church? Or am I praying when the need arises because it needs dealing with? And we must pray when those things happen. When a need arises, we should pray. But Paul has almost got a foundation of prayer of spiritual growth comes first. And I'll talk about this a bit later, but once you get the foundations in place, when the trials come, you're a lot stronger. You're a lot firmer. So this morning, I just want to go through, and I'm going to read lots of scriptures to you about the things that Paul prayed, the priorities that he has, first of all, the prayer growth things that he prayed for. So the first one is this. He prays that they would know God. They would know God. The first, I've got a couple of headings under that title, know God. The first is to know his power. To know his power. Ephesians 3, verse 16 and 17 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Ephesians 1, verse 19 to 22, the other prayer in Ephesians that we didn't read. Ephesians 1, 19, 22 says, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world but also in the world to come. God has put all these things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. What a prayer that is. If we could understand the greatness of God's power and the work that that does in us, it changes our perception. If we understood who we are and who he is and his power, it changes how we react to the circumstances around us. It changes how we react to the things that happen. Because we know his power. We know how that is demonstrated through us as his children. Paul prays also that they will have knowledge and understanding. When we're praying to know God, they would have knowledge and understanding of him, and of course that of ourselves. Philippians 1 verse 9 and 10 says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives unto the day of Christ's return. He wants us to grow in our knowledge and understanding of him, in our knowledge and understanding of ourselves, and our relationship with him, that we are his children. And as that happens, it changes the way that we are. It changes the way that we react to the things around us, the pressures that come upon us. So for this church of Philippi, you know, the whole emperor worship and citizenship of empire and all of those things, the pressures are on them to conform to the culture. And they're getting pressure because they're saying we're citizens of heaven, not the citizen of, well, we're citizens of heaven as well as being citizens of the empire, and we put our citizenship in heaven higher. Well, that was like totally opposite to the culture of Philippi. Ephesians 1 verse 16, 17 says, I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you may grow in your knowledge of God. It's a really interesting thing that we think our knowledge of God comes from studying books and academic stuff and things like that, whereas actually Paul is praying that by his power we would get a revelation of who God is. We'd get an understanding of who he is. And as we do, we begin to see our circumstances differently, the trials and the difficulties that come differently. In this prayer to know God, he also includes this, to know his love. And we've read this, these verses already. Ephesians 3, verse 17 to 21 says, "Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, who is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." What a prayer to pray, God, that we would know your love. How wide, how deep, how high, how whatever. Which one didn't I say? The incredible nature of God's love for us. And I could spend a whole morning talking about that. You know, Christ died for us because of his love for us. He gave himself. And you know, I'm not going to do that. But that is Paul's prayer, that we would understand God's love for us. The second thing that Paul prays there are many prayers, obviously, lots of other prayers that I've not even included now, but the second thing I want to just talk about this morning is the prayer to love one another. And, this is about us growing in maturity, growing in Christ, growing, you know, it's us about growing as Christians, really. It's just spiritual growth. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12 to 13 says this, "And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May he, as a result, make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when the Lord Jesus comes again with his holy people. Amen." I think if we were to get hold of that, this is the church that is only 3 or 4 weeks old. These are the Christians that have only been followers of Jesus, you know, for this very short period of time. Paul's only been able to do a little bit of teaching, and he says in his letter, "I want to come back and fill in the gaps." But then his prayer is this, that you grow in love for one another. This is one of the very, very highest priorities for the church. And the reason I know that, Paul prays it here, Jesus prays it in John 17. I pray that they will love one another and be united together and all of those. So this is one of the very, very highest priorities. And for this new church, who pretty much know nothing about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, they've responded to the gospel, but, you know, the teacher's been driven away because there's a riot. What does he write back? And he says, "I'm praying for you that you'll grow in your love for each other." Philippians 1 verse 9, "I pray that your love will overflow more and more and you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding, for I want to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return." I read that in us understanding his love, but actually I think it applies to us loving one another. That we grow in our love, our knowledge, our depth of insight. New International Translation says, and that you will keep growing in knowledge and understanding. So for our love to overflow more and more, what a prayer that is, that our love overflows. That means it's not contained. That means it's spilling out everywhere. And, I'm sure all of us would look at our own lives and say, there are places where my love is not flowing everywhere. God, would you help us to be more like that? The third thing that I just want to share with you this morning, the third prayer, in a sense, that Paul prays is the prayer to know ourselves, who we are in Christ. To know, first of all, that we are called, to know that we have an inheritance. Ephesians 1, verse 18 says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light, so you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people, his rich and glorious inheritance. So that you can understand the confident hope he has given, the hope before us. He's praying that we would know who we are. The hope we have is an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. I'm quoting from Peter now, but it's ahead of us, this great salvation, that we are children of God. Peter talks about us being children of God, and therefore we have this great inheritance. And so we are his holy people. Again, that's what Peter describes as well in one of his letters. And also, when the prayer to know ourselves within that is to know that he lives in us. Ephesians 3:17, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. There's almost a moment to pause and say, he dwells here. When we're talking about knowing who we are in Christ, we're a child of the King, but we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells here within us. And if we're to get a real revelation of that, and our prayer must be, God, would you reveal yourself in that way to me? It will change us to know that he lives here. It will change the way we behave when we're on our own. It will change the way we behave when we're with other people. Because we know that he's here, living in me. I'm saying living in me like it's the physical. It's not. It's the spiritual. He's like, if only we knew ourselves more. God, show us more of our own, you know, that we're spiritual beings as well as physical beings. And then the final thing that I want to pick out this morning from these prayers is that Paul prays for them for good character. Paul prays for good character. Philippians 1, verse 10 and 11 says, for I want you to understand what really matters, that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. It's pretty straightforward what he prays. He prays, I pray that you'll live good lives because that will bring glory to him. And I wonder how often is that my prayer for me? God, would you clean up my act so that I reflect your greatness more? 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. May he, as a result, make your hearts strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when the Lord Jesus comes again with his holy people. Praying again for holy, blameless lives, that we bring glory to him when he returns. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11 to 13. So we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live, and you will be honored along with him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our Lord, of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. The same prayer expressed for the Philippians, for the Thessalonians, that your lives will be blameless and holy. And I could quote from Peter's letters, and I could quote from Jesus' teaching, and you know, all of this stuff is stuff that we know, but actually, let's make it our prayer. God, would you help us to live blameless, holy lives that we can bring glory to him, to honor him. So just to conclude with really this morning, if I were to pray for the church, and I do, I may pray defensive prayers. That is my almost my reaction. God, the pressure's on such and such. God, would you just keep them safe through this period? God, such and such is ill. Would you bring healing to them? God, that person needs a job, you know, give them a job. All of those things that we pray and we should pray. But actually, I think there should be a baseline for our day-to-day prayer, which is, God, would you help us to grow? God, would you help us to grow in our knowledge of you, in our knowledge of ourselves, in our character, all of those things that we've spoken about. God, help us to grow. You know, we spend quite a lot of time praying for our kids. God, would you protect them from the culture of this world, which is sort of so anything goes and whatever. And at that moment, I'm saying, but if I'm praying for them to grow and to know God and to know themselves and all those things, we don't need to pray for them to be protected from the culture of this world, because they've adopted the culture of the kingdom of God. You know, there are a few other prayers that Paul prays. Sam quoted one this morning, beginning, I give thanks for you when I think of you. And there's a bunch of ones like that. But actually, when he prays, when he declares what he prays for the churches, apart from those of I give thanks for you, which he does in many of his letters, he prays, I pray that you will grow. And we tend to pray in response to problems. Paul prays to prevent problems. I was trying to think of an example, and I thought, you know, so often, like, we might go to the doctor because we've got a symptom that needs dealing with. And, you know, whatever that might be, we have, you know, UK is almost in a health crisis. We're the worst in Europe right now. And stuff like cancer and diabetes and diabetes and obesity and all of those things are really high in terms of our. And we can go there, and you know, I visited Paul in hospital. And if anyone wants to visit Paul in hospital, he would love a visit. Went to visit Paul in hospital on Thursday, and he's there because his diabetes and then the symptoms of the diabetes and all of those things. But you know, if I were to go to the doctor, he would say, "Oh, yeah, but you need to eat more healthily and do some more exercise, and then you'll prevent these things coming about." And if we as a nation were to do those things, our health would become better. And in a sense, if we're to pray the prayers that Paul prays, our spiritual health will become better. The symptoms won't be there so often, or when the pressure comes, we can survive it more easily because we are more healthy spiritually. And that's where Paul's praying differs from ours. We pray to deal with symptoms often. He's praying to prevent symptoms. He's praying for spiritual growth, which will prevent us being caught in the world's culture, prevent us from being pulled away to the things that you know, tempt us and put pressure on us and bring difficulties and all of those things. That means if we grow, if Paul's prayers are answered and if our prayers are answered for growth, it means that when we face difficult circumstances, we handle them differently because we know who we are, we know who he is, and we know why. We're living holy lives to bring glory to him. So this morning, let's begin to pray. It's a challenge for us, maybe to, whenever we're praying, let's slip in this, God, would you help me to grow? Would you help those around me to grow? Let's begin to pray for spiritual growth. Let's be healthy Christians who know God and know ourselves, which brings glory to Him. If we see spiritual growth in our lives and in the lives of others around, the need for firefighting problems will be reduced, because the problems will be less, because our growth, our health spiritually means that those problems are less significant. On your, somewhere near you, there's a piece of paper. Hopefully you've all got sight of one of these. This is a prayer that I put together. When Mary Jane came in and saw this, she was like, oh, I was going to read some of those prayers at the end today. And I'm like, we're going to pray some of those prayers today. So there's a, if you haven't got one in front of you, there's a bunch of spare ones here. Stick your hand up, and Mary Jane's got them in her hand. But it's going to appear on the screen as well for those of you at home. This is a prayer that I've put together from, I've cobbled together sort of all of Paul's prayers into one and then personalized it, or at least not personally me, but us as we. And we can pray it together this morning. But actually, I'd really love it if you took it away and continued to pray it for us as a church. And, you know, it's really important. And we've been, I think, emphasizing a little bit recently. That's not very big, is it? Those at home hopefully can see it. Those here have got one in their hand. So, and this is just a prayer, basically, that I've taken all of those prayers that I've spoken and you've seen on the screen this morning, and we're going to pray it together. Shall we stand? Can we stand and pray this prayer together? And it may be, well, hopefully we'll get into a rhythm, which will mean it goes nicely. But, you know, let's make this our prayer for ourselves, for one another, for the church in Folkestone. And then let's take it away and keep praying it. Let's pray. Creator of everything in heaven and on earth, we pray that from your glorious, unlimited resources, you will empower us with inner strength through your Spirit. Jesus, come and make your home in our hearts. Help our roots to grow down into God's love and keep us strong. Give us the power to understand how wide, how long, how high, and how deep your love is. May we experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then we will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Help us understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. The same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. We pray that our love will overflow more and more, and that we will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. We want to understand what really matters, so that we may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. We pray that our hearts will be flooded with light, so that we can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. May we always be filled with the fruit of our salvation, the righteous character produced in our lives by Jesus Christ. By this, help us bring much glory and praise to God. Father, give us the power to accomplish all the good things our faith prompts us to do. Make our hearts strong, blameless, and holy as we stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again with all his holy people. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's be seated.